Welcome back. Well, financial services group Alexander Forbes' annual earnings has edged lower by 1% as the company's savings and retirement markets missed expectations. And while the group addresses this shortfall, it's opted to exit its insurance businesses as part of its revised turnaround strategy as well. In the meantime, operating income increased by 6%, while operating expenses grew 13%. The company's CEO, Davie de Villiers, joins us to discuss where these numbers leave the turnaround dot plot, if we can call it that. Davie, thanks so much for joining us in studio this evening. So you've seen earnings edge lower, as I've said, amidst your major restructuring. How far along in that process are you? And I guess more importantly, how soon before we start seeing that payoff?
Yeah, so we basically just started our process. We are, as you rightly said, in the process of selling the short-term insurance business. That's going very well. It's the first part of the strategy to become a capital light business, and we should before the end of the year complete that transaction. We should have a very good indication of price and buyer by the time of end of July, maybe.
Looking at what you're sitting with, though, I mean, you've got your segments underperforming as far as savings and retirement is concerned. With those segments not meeting even your own expectations, so what's the problem there?
Yeah, so I think we, as you rightly said, our revenue grew nicely at 6% in a very tough environment. We're quite impressed with that. Obviously, in the long run, want more, but for the environment that we're in, that's quite good. The problem was the expenses. Expenses up 13%, which gave us the drop in profit. And within the expenses, it's actually quite nicely explained by a lot of once-offs. We talked about the IT contract ending and the penalty that we paid there, which was 50 million of those once-off expenses. There's some others in there, and we should see a more normalized expense base going forward. Obviously, the other part of the expense increase is investing in the continuing businesses. So we will continue to invest in the continuing businesses. It will form our core, the savings part, the advice part, the administration part, investments, and a big part of those expenses was also some of those investments.
Okay, so that as you maintain some kind of handle on your operating expenses side of things, as far as revenue is concerned, I mean, you've seen lost business in those segments that I have highlighted. So how do you start turning that picture around at winning back lost business, where simply winning any business in the current economy is already hard enough?
It's already tough. And perfectly stated, we're not there to just maintain our current client base. That was first priority. When we started, it was really tough for clients to understand our strategy, to stay with us in uncertain times. As you know, we had a staff turnover as well, which made it difficult. But we've managed to come through that with some good retention of clients. Very few clients lost in the last half of the year, and that bodes well for the future. We're reorganizing our team in terms of being client-facing, part of the new structure, integrated client-facing team, which will hopefully lead to some new business as well as the client retention into the future. Certainly on aim to build on new business as well.
What's your assessment of the competitive landscape you're having to contend against?
Yeah, it's a very mature market. I think competition is tough. We're all competing for a smaller and smaller base as we speak, as companies exit existence, as they exit some of their employees. Our revenue is based on the number of employees per company. So even if we don't lose companies as clients, they might still lose members or employees, which loses revenue for us. So it's a really tough environment and very competitive, not only competitive from a client point of view, also competitive from the skill set amongst those few strong competitors. So we just have to be the best.
Yeah.
We have to differentiate ourselves, give a better offering to our clients, and we feel we can do it by being advice-led rather than just bringing product to the market.
How much more in-depth does that advice need to be? Because one can only imagine that savings and retirement and kind of putting that incentive forward becomes very much a hard sell where you're dealing with a consumer market that is already pretty stretched as far as disposable income is concerned.
100%. I think it's probably going to get worse before it gets better for the poor consumer in the market. And we can see that on a day-to-day basis. What we want to try and do is we give a lot of advice on an employer basis to them and their trusts and their their trustees and their funds. So it's a lot of wholesale advice, if I can call it that, advice to how to structure your funds, how to look after your employees, what you must offer them. And that was the traditional space that we played in. What we now want to do is, through that advice framework, is actually give a better journey for the members in there. Because we're starting to hear that the members are still open to scrutiny from the market. They don't know what to do. They don't understand. So through our funds, we want to get to the ultimate member and improve their journey of understanding of why they save, how they save, when they should save more, and when they should save less when it's tough.
Yeah.
And if they can understand that a little bit better, I think their journey will improve.
I know that you alluded to a capital light model from here on out. Having said that, what kind of capex are you putting to work? Because you are looking at potential opportunities to buy into, similarly focused employee benefited businesses. So what's that pipeline of opportunity looking like relative to what you have to spend?
Yeah, so the first thing is we currently have a lot of cash available, which we're distributing to shareholders through the special dividend, and I think that's a good start point in terms of our capital light journey. And then by disposing of our insurance businesses, we'll release a lot of regulatory capital that we're holding because of the insurance regulations and the regulatory capital that we have to hold, and it will produce some cash as well. So that will be disposed of in terms of handing it back to shareholders as well. And we will then look for the buying opportunities. So we first want to complete that cycle, then look for the buying opportunities. I think we can use cash for the buying opportunities, but we can also look to get use structured finance. Mm-hmm. And it's actually maybe an improvement on our balance sheet if we actually do that a bit.
Well, let's leave it there, Darby. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Darby de Villiers is CEO of Alexander Forbes.